When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
Cabinet members, this particular bill will impose significant charge on the consolidated fund and should not have emanated from private members. My colleague Richard Kojonyako was in court for us on the day when part of this also played out before Parliament and with details. So, first of all, let's go to what happened before the court itself today.
So, Evan, so the case were heard differently. So, the first one that was heard was researcher Amanda Odoi's case, where the lawyer appeared and said he was filing an application and that is seeking to injunct the transmission of the bill to the presidency. In fact, it was heavily resisted by a lawyer for the Speaker of Parliament, Thaddeus Sory, and the Attorney General also came in. And so that raged on for some time, but what they centered on was Article 108, and let me read Article 108 for your hearing. Parliament shall not, unless the bill is introduced or the motion is introduced by or on behalf of the President, A, proceed upon a bill including an amendment to a bill that, in the opinion of the person presiding, makes provision for any of the following: I, the imposition of tax or the alteration of taxation otherwise than by the reduction or the imposition of a charge on the consolidated fund or other public funds of Ghana, or the alteration of any such charge otherwise than by reduction or the payment, issue or withdrawal from the consolidated fund or other public funds of Ghana of monies not charged on the consolidated fund or any increase in the amount of that payment. In fact, issue or withdrawal. And five, the composition or remission of any debt due to the government of Ghana. And then the B says that to proceed upon a motion, including an amendment to a motion, the effect of which, in the opinion of the person presiding, would be to make provision for any of the purposes specified in the paragraphs. And so it was like a chicken and egg situation. So the argument centered on whether Parliament should have proceeded on this bill, knowing very well that it emanated from private members instead of the presidency, because it is a charge on the Constitution. We've been speaking with lawyer for Amanda Odoi or Richard Delaskai, Parkway Sibedu, and he's been explaining why the court should rule in their favor.
The focus of my submission this morning, as you might have heard, were premised on five main points. The most cardinal point I raised was that under Article 108, Clause A, subclause Roman number 2, there's what we call financial impact analysis reports. We should have accompanied the bill before its admission by the Speaker of Parliament. And once that was not done, then we are saying that right from the beginning, there was a constitutional breach. And this is what will not let the bill fly.
Yes, the Chief Justice says the cases will not be consolidated, considering the similarity with the one earlier held. To your camp, is this welcoming news?
To be frank, it makes no difference to the law. The rule of civil practice is that where cases touch on the same subject and the parties are the same, the case can be brought together or consolidated. But let me also be the first to admit that even where cases are consolidated, the judges are at liberty to give judgment in respect of each case. So the mere fact that they are consolidated or not will not take anything away from our judges.
Would you have wished that they did that?
To be very honest with you, that is within the remit of our judges, and I do not want to preempt the understanding of the rules.
Considering that the submissions we are making had already been canvassed by the previous.
Let me also go on record saying that although the submissions were very similar, there were other reliefs which the plaintiff applicant in the instant case was claiming, which were not endorsed on this. So although they might have overheard the same provisions of the Constitution being cited now and again, they still had a challenge of looking at those other areas which were not canvassed in the earlier case.
You recall that even the Chief Justice drew the first counsel's attention to the fact that there were some relief that is not seeking in this application.
Exactly.
And that's why he should confine himself to.
So the tangent of our submissions will be.
So there are two different things.
All I told myself was, God bless the Chief Justice when she took the position that this matter has been pending for over a year. And if indeed that controversial report or that report which has remained the bane of controversy in court was with them, why do you wait after arguments? Why do you wait after all has been said and done before you come out to say that such a bill existed?
And Parliament was really at the heart of this. It was very obvious. So we hear from the Speaker very shortly that somehow the Speaker was paying attention to what was happening. After all, it was live, right? So he was watching. And then you heard from the Attorney General himself, who was very clear, taking on Parliament for proceeding to even consider this bill and even pass it. Why? What was that point all about?
Because according to the Attorney General, their condition precedents were not met, and before any bill is laid in Parliament, Parliament should research and should do due diligence. The fact that it was not brought to the floor of Parliament by the executive or by the president. But once it is coming from a private member and it carries on his shoulders financial implication, then Parliament shouldn't have even proceeded with the hearing and then consideration of the bill at all.
There was nothing, no basis on which Parliament could proceed because it was a failure to satisfy the very important condition precedent of the Speaker or the person presiding presenting an analysis of the impact on the conciliatory fund. And so I would further submit that such an omission cannot be cured by the president's election to refer the bill back to Parliament for reconsideration. And what if the president does not refer the bill back to Parliament? It means the nation lives with the unconditionality. That would clearly be the implication. If the president decides not to present the bill back to Parliament, the nation will live with such unconditionality. And that will be a huge scar on the constitutional landscape of the nation. And so I submit that there's again no independent power of Parliament to reconsider a bill after the processes in Article 106 of the Constitution have been satisfied, which indeed have been up to this stage. Parliament has fully exhausted all the processes of considering a bill. The bill has been introduced in Parliament, has been read for the first time as required under Article 106, Clause 4 of the Constitution. It has been referred to the appropriate committee of Parliament under the same Article 104, Clause 4 of the Constitution. There has been a deliberation. Especially, my submission is that upon the satisfaction of all these steps required under Article 106, there is no room for Parliament on its own to reconsider such a bill. And therefore, there is no provision for a remedy or a cure of a failure to comply with Article 108, paragraph A of the Constitution.
Honorable Attorney General.
Yes, Respectfully.
Did I hear you say that after a bill has been assented to and it's been become an act, that there's no other opportunity?
Parliament's rights are exhausted, or Parliament's capacity, authority is exhausted.
Yes, that
we cannot,
at the stage,
I cannot receive the bill
on its,
on its own.
Yes, that at the stage we are, Parliament's power to independently review the bill or provide a remedy or cure, as earlier on advocated by my learned friend, does not exist.
Now, the Speaker of Parliament, well, let's put it this way, the Parliament's lawyer was on the at the Supreme Court today too, Tadio Sori. What did he say to this?
So contrary to what the Attorney General has been canvassing for in court, that once the bill has been laid in Parliament, is going through the various readings and the others, once it is transmitted to the president, parliament's work is done. In fact, the options left to parliament are very minimal. Parliament cannot go back and reconsider that. But lawyer for parliament, Tadiasori, indicates that no, the president has other options available. And so why don't they allow the process, the parliamentary process, to end? And by that, he's referring to the fact that they, upon the transmission of the bill to the president has various options to consider and then review the bill, make comments about it, make suggestions about it, and then the bill can go back to parliament. But he says that they are unnecessarily interfering with the business of parliament. The
president has a discretion as to what to do with it. And my lords, I'll just crave your indulgence to read specifically articles 106, 7, 8, and 9 of the Constitution quickly. Clause 7 says that where a bill passed by parliament is presented to the president for assent, he shall signify within 7 days after the presentation to the speaker that he assents to the bill, or that he refuses assent to the bill, unless the bill has been referred by the president to the Council of State under Article 90 of this Constitution. Then clause 8 says, where the president refuses assent to a bill, he shall within 14 days after the refusal state in the memorandum to the speaker any specific provisions of the bill which, in his opinion, should be reconsidered by Parliament, including his recommendations for amendments, if any. Inform the Speaker that he has referred the bill to the Council of State for consideration and comment under Article 90 of this Constitution. Then finally, clause 9 says, Parliament shall reconsider when it is sent to Parliament. It shall reconsider.
It's where you probably missed what the Attorney General said, that the Article 108.1 provides a prerequisite action condition.
Yes.
A condition precedent, such that if missed, everything done thereafter is invalid.
For
legality and constitutionality.
I didn't miss that point.
Mm.
Eventually, if this court decides that there has been an illegality by reference to the Constitution, what it will declare is that there is a nullity.
Mm-hmm.
And the question my lady kept asking me earlier is that if in truth there is an illegality and Parliament concedes it, would it correct it or not? So if the President draws Parliament's attention to that and Parliament agrees with the President and does it, it would have achieved the same question that my lady does I have drawn attention to. So again, no need for the injunction. So that's my answer to paragraph 10.
And that there is lawyer for Parliament, Tadiasori, before the Supreme Court today, which, by the way, was live across our platforms here at Joy News. I want to bring in right now my parliamentary correspondent, because while this was happening and Parliament's lawyer was making the point, the Speaker took the matter to the floor. Kweku, how did this happen? What was the context?
Well, we were all monitoring proceedings. Parliament had not started because of the rains. A number of MPs are not coming. And so, in fact, at the time Tadiasori was making this argument, Parliament itself had not started sitting. It would appear the Speaker of Parliament was clearly following proceedings and the questioning of the justices, particularly also the submission that had been made by lawyers of Jiskai and Amanda Odo, and in particular the Attorney General. When proceedings started, Haruna Iddrisu raised concerns about a cement airline that is currently before the House and said he may be tempted to go to court if the Minister does not withdraw the airline. The Speaker of Parliament then seized on that moment to really send out a warning, in particular to the judiciary, warning that Parliament will not entertain the judiciary extending its tentacles into its business once its job is not done. In particular, he gave the example of a bill and said Parliament's job regarding a bill would not have been done until the President appends his signature to it or not. And until that is done, he does not believe that the Supreme Court or any other court should be entertaining suits from people seeking to question the legitimacy of the work that has been done in the House. Listen to the Speaker of Parliament admonishing MPs to stand up and resist against any such encroachment by the judiciary.
Let it be known that when it comes to lawmaking, until all the processes in this House are exhausted, there is no business for anybody, including the courts, to consider. Because the Constitution and the enabling legislation takes care of all these challenges. Until, if it is a law, it is assented to by the president, judiciary has no jurisdiction to try to pry into it. This is notice. We have to take this seriously, or else our legislative authority is being taken away from us by other agencies and arms of government. That should be resisted by this house, or else your being here is of no consequence. The law is very clear on this. And so until a bill is assented to by the president, nobody has any business to take that process that is being considered by the House to the court. And I don't want to preempt the judgment of the Supreme Court in this matter. But I'm giving notice because on daily basis, I'm being served with writs as a party on matters that are being considered by the House. That's why I'm compelled to say this.
I mean, this places Parliament firmly on that collision course with the Supreme Court as we await that verdict on the 17th of July. But Kweku, did we get any other comments from other members of Parliament to this?
Well, not at all, Evans. You clearly hear the Speaker saying that he did not want to preempt that judgment, that verdict that will come from the Supreme Court on the 17th of July. In fact, MPs were all clear in their mind that the Speaker was clearly referring to this case. Just after that, the Speaker suspended his sitting for about 5 minutes, and so MPs could not comment on all those matters. Some of them that I spoke to are sort of the floor. Some agreed with the Speaker. Others did say no because they thought that Parliament...
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
As an organ of government, it's still under the Constitution. And so if Parliament conducts itself, even in a lawmaking process, and it falters somewhat, other persons can also go to the judiciary for judicial review. And so when the Speaker returns after that brief suspension, they proceeded to deal with other matters. But the Speaker is clear. He's inviting other MPs to come on board to resist what he calls the encroachment of the lawmaking function of Parliament.
This sets a tone indeed for some very interesting times ahead as we wait the Supreme Court verdict on this particular matter, whether the processes the Parliament intends to take going forward on the LGBTQ bill can be halted. An injunction indeed has been applied for, an application for that is what the Supreme Court will be considering. I want to bring in a member of Parliament, a lawyer himself, who also happens to be one of the sponsors of the anti-LGBTQ bill. He's a co-sponsor, Roxy Nelson Defiamepo, joins us right now on the phone. Roxy, where do you stand on this debate? Hello, Roxy, can you hear me? Okay, we don't seem to have him. We'll try and get him quickly on the line on this. Wherever you are, this is Top Story. On the day when the Parliament was placed firmly on the collision course with the Supreme Court on that very controversial matter of the anti-LGBTQ bill, the Supreme Court has now been considering this application for an interlocutory injunction that would halt Parliament and tie its hands from proceeding on this particular matter. You just heard there the Speaker say that they will resist any attempt by the other bodies, other constitutional bodies or the other arms of government to try and stop them from doing the work that he believes the Constitution mandates them to do. We'll hear from Roxy Nelson Defiamepo pretty shortly, and I will take your thoughts too here on Top Story.
Auntie T, I beg, fix me gobetete Ghana. No gari, no oil, no plantain, just beans then eggs.
Hey, bruh, that be dangerous combination, oh.
Problem no day, I feel handle.
For Telecel, with the Bob say, everybody gets what they like. That be why Made For Me Bundles Day. Based on your usage, you get your own data and call packages. Fala! Made For Me, bundles like the way you the want them. That's *530#, then buy Made For Me bundles today.
Telecel, connecting energies.
Well, we'll hear from Roxy Nelson, the family pretty shortly, but still with me in the studio is parliamentary. It's our court affairs, legal affairs correspondent with me on this particular subject. So this is going to be on the 17th.
Yes.
That's what we expect to hear this.
Exactly. So you see, what the court has been saddled with today has been Article 106 and 108. So the 108 borders on the financial implications of bill and anything that will have an effect, an impact on the consolidated fund or the taxpayers' money. And the 106, the processes the parliament takes in passing a bill and all of that. So the point really has been that did parliament do due diligence before considering the bill, considering that there is a constitutional imperative that mandates them to scrutinize the bill, whether it is a private member's bill that has a consequential effect on our economy or our funds. So that is the question that they are asking, and whether parliamentary business ought to be truncated unnecessarily by injuncting the process of the transmission of the bill from parliament to the president. And so the argument that Thaddeus Sowore has been canvassing for is that parliament has started this business. Why don't you allow parliament to finish with this business? So it starts from the laying of the bill right to the president, the bill getting to the presidency, for the president to assent to the bill or not. If the president does not assent to the bill, and then there are other comments, the attorney general, the principal legal advisor of government, is there to advise government or offer a legal opinion on that matter, then the bill will be sent to parliament. But the attorney general today is saying that, no, that is not the process.
Thank you very much, Kojo, for that. And I want to stay in Parliament a while longer, where we've heard from the Speaker already on the subject of the Supreme Court's pending consideration of that particular decision on the 17th of July, whether or not to injunct Parliament from taking further steps on the anti-LGBTQ bill. And today in Parliament also, the Finance Ministry has been briefing the House on the very controversial subject of the National Cathedral Project. And we're now beginning to learn a bit more about how much money we have spent as taxpayers on that particular project that looked very stalled. Kweku Asante is still with me. Kweku, so was this an urgent question that was filed, or the finance minister himself came by themselves to brief the House?
This was an urgent question that has been in Parliament for more than a year. In fact, for several weeks now, the minority have been making a lot of comments about the need for the business committee chaired by the majority leader to program the finance minister to come. You will recall, Evans, last week that minority again raised issues about the committee that Parliament was expected to set to investigate the National Cathedral issues and all. The minister, the majority at the time, last Friday, I should say, did respond that the minister will be coming this week to respond to those questions that have been filed. Interestingly, this particular question regarding how much has been spent and whether or not there was an audit was filed by the deputy majority leader, Patricia PJ, an NDP MP for Asokwa, who did file this question. So the Minister of State and the Finance Minister, Abdullahi Asare, is the official who came to respond to these questions, not Dr. Mohamed Amin Lamte himself. Abdullahi Asare provides an update that since the inception of this project till now, government has been clear that it will provide land and seed funds. And for the seed fund, they've so far provided 339 million Ghana cedis since the inception of that project. And the 339 million cedis is what has been used for the project so far. She does confirm that value for money audit were done before these monies were released. Listen to it.
For money audit done on the project in 2021 by Casely Doyumo Group. Also, a statutory audit of the National Cathedral of Ghana accounts by Deloitte Ghana was started in July 2023 and is ongoing. The auditors had concluded the audit of the 18-month account ended 31st December 2020. Meanwhile, preparations are in place for the auditors to complete the remaining accounts for the period ended 31st December 2021, 2022, and 2023. I remember that from the onset, the Ministry of Finance mentioned that our contribution to the National Cathedral will be the land and some seed money, and this was in the budget, previous year's budget. I can't state exactly which year, but clearly it was in the budget that we were going to give some seed fund and the land as our contribution to that. So, Mr. Speaker, that is what I can say to that. But clearly we have records to show how much we have paid. And so it is not something that it's not transparent enough. We all know how much we have paid. Apart from the Honourable Minister, the former Minister for Finance, Honourable Kenu Furiata, whose salary has already been fully committed to the Ghana Institute of Linguistics, Literacy and Bible Translation, Gilbert, the office holders, including His Excellency the President and the Vice President, had related deductions between April and June of 2020, amounting to 1,781,894 Ghana cedis 38 pesos, and it is shown below that in April 2020, 81 office holders contributed 637,998 Ghana cedis 77 pesos, and this was on 22nd of June 2020. And May 2020, 82 office holders contributed 638,098 Ghana cedis 77 pesos. And in June 2020, 64 office holders contributed 505,796,084 Ghana cedis. And so totaling the 1.7 million I mentioned.
So 339 million cedis spent so far on the National Cathedral. Kweku, she's also we've just been listening to her, updating us on how much the state raised from the donations that they got from ministers on the back of the president's announcement in the heat of the COVID-19 pandemic, that himself and his government officials will donate a whole or part of their salaries towards the fight against the pandemic.
Yes, in fact, that question stood in the name of the minority MPs who wanted to know, in particular Alhassan Suhini, that the president had clearly made that promise at the height of COVID-19 that his government was going to donate in part or the whole of their salary. They insist that 1.78 million cedis does not look big enough. And the minister has been responding that it appears all ministers who are MPs did not contribute this way because their salaries are paid from Parliament, and Parliament may not have done this deduction. And so the 1.78 million cedis that were realized were the President, the Vice, and other ministers whose salaries are not directed through Parliament. And so that is the information she has been providing to the House in terms of how exactly that amount of money has gone in to help the country's fight against COVID-19 ever.
1.78 million cedis. Thank you very much, Kweku, from Parliament on what has been happening there today. There's a lot more on Newsnight. We start right now.
Good evening and welcome to Newsnight. In the next 60 minutes, teacher unions fight proposed free SHS bill. We'll get to hear from NAT and NAGRAT as they take on the education ministry, accusing it of playing politics with education.
We already have the law, but looking at what the graphic reportage, it's like a political talk that somebody's entertaining here.
We'll get to hear from renowned educationist Professor Stephen Adair as he questions the need for a law to regulate the free SHS policy.
Now you say you have prepared a bill, a law to go to Parliament.
and then you sneak out certain aspects of it, I think that it is a bad way of going about it.
Also tonight, Civil and Local Government Staff Association of Ghana, CLOGSAG, swerves meeting with NLC only to continue their strike unabated.
You see, they sent a letter to the commission 3 days ago, which was suggestive that they might not attend.
We'll get to hear from the NLC as it says their action is declared by the National Labour Commission as not well constituted. We'll get to hear from the Labour Commission on the stance they've taken on CLOGSAG.
Yes, we'll direct them to call off the strike because it's unfortunate.
Also tonight, Finance Ministry insists there's been value for money audit after telling the House 339 million cedis have so far been released for the National Cathedral project.
For money audit, I'm done on the project in 2021 by Casely Doyumo. Also, a statutory audit of the National Cathedral of Ghana accounts by Deloitte Ghana was started in July 2023 and is ongoing.
And still in Parliament, they've advised Trade and Industry Minister to withdraw controversial LI seeking to regulate cement prices barely 24 hours after it was laid.
I will advise, I'm not directed, I will advise that the sponsors of the instrument should take a second look at it and, if possible, withdraw and capture it in the appropriate language.
Meanwhile, divisions in the minority deepens as more members raise fresh concerns about the legality of the proposed legislative instrument.
Core mandate of the Standards Authority is in respect of quality of goods, not with respect to the pricing of those goods.
But I'm minded to test this matter in the Supreme Court.
In business, foreign direct investment for first quarter picks up strongly to hit $124 million.
And as well as we hear from Ghanaian swimmer Giselle Mensah following her qualification for the upcoming 2024 Olympic Games in Paris via the World Cup.
And later in an NSMQ update today, we'll get to introduce and welcome Presby SHS Bombata. They are the latest entrants into the National Science and Maths Quiz after beating Chinebua Kudia SHS and Edujefi SHS. You want to stay for details of that and more here on Newsnight. Your thoughts, comments are welcome. It's via WhatsApp 055-111-1997. We're also live on X Spaces. You're on myjoyonline.com. Leave us a comment with a hashtag Newsnight. I am MFA Apau.
Hey, my name is Evans Mensah. And let's start tonight.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.